Hi, I'm Seb Coe. I'm also president of the Global Sport of Athletics. Welcome to the IAAF Christmas Special Podcast. We'll be back after these messages.
Hello there, I'm Ben Harlow, and welcome to a Christmassy episode of the IAAF Inside Athletics Podcast. A lot has actually happened since the last episode. We had the end of year athletics awards, and it was a magnificent night where Katerina Barguin and Elia Kipchoge were crowned female and male athlete of the year. So joining me today is John Mulkeen. You'll know him from Twitter as Statman John, British triple jumper and European finalist Naomi Ogbeta, and Thomas Byrne, who will all help me in a review of a fantastic year of athletics. Along with that, we'll also be joined by IAAF President Sebastian Coe to reflect on the IAAF awards and also what's on the top of his agenda for 2019. And we'll round things off with an Xmas slash athletics hybrid of higher or lower, or should I say older or younger. Just keep listening to find out what goes on there. And finally, I ask the pundits what their Christmas wish is for 2019. Stay tuned. So guys, it's been a pretty crazy year for athletics. I just thought I'd ask you, just to kick things off, what one of your highlights of the year has been, or the moment, let's do your moment of the year. Tom?
For me, there was a moment in the Decathlon World Record set by Kevin Mayer in Talents when he threw the javelin 71.90, and I didn't see it live, but I've seen it on Twitter, and a French guy going absolutely mad on commentary, just screaming record personnel, and for me that just looked like the moment of the year, because when does anyone get excited about, you know, decathlon javelin outside of championships or GOATIS? In any other circumstances it would have just been something, you know, that was going on in south of France, but that it was part of a world record, that it was a French guy, Mayer, in front of his French crowd, that broadcast it live on French television, and then he produced that and the tail end of Sunday to set him up for the world record. For me, that was the moment.
John?
Yeah. But as a performance, I think Mayer's decathlon world record was definitely up there. And then there are actually a couple of performances from the World Juniors that really stand out. I mean, the other combined events, the women's heptathlon at the World Juniors was incredible, the finish. But what I'll remember for a long time is the 4x4 at the World Juniors. It was just full of drama. Like, it was changing with every leg. And for like the Italians to come through at the end in the way that they did and win it is just such an incredible atmosphere.
Yeah, I totally agree.
The stadium, it's brilliant.
I think my best moment probably was like at Europeans watching Armand Duplantis in the pole vault.
Yeah.
That was just incredible. Like, he was like, is he going to go off again? And then when he did it, I was like, oh my gosh, and the crowd is like going insane. So yeah, that's probably my...
Yeah, that was probably one of the best pole vault competitions of all time I've ever seen. I think along to cap it off, mine's probably a Diamond League moment. It was at the Paris Diamond League when Samba did the 400 hurdles, and I honestly nearly fell down the stairs of the media tribune. I couldn't believe it. I thought he broke the world record. but yeah, that was great.
Can I add another one from the Diamond League?
Yeah, go on.
Because I wasn't there in Talents France, but I was there to see Juan Chevalier's long jump in Stockholm, and it was right over the far side of the stadium. And I probably didn't have my glasses on because I'm a student. But I just saw this Cuban blur just go. And I honestly, it's very, very easy to say with hindsight, but I stood up and, you know, lost my mind a little bit. And then when the mark came up, 8.83, although it wasn't wind legal, it was just, you know, such a mind blowing number to see flash up on any sort of digital board.
Gotta
give a shout out for that.
Definitely. I mean, let's talk about the Diamond League with that as well. Naomi, you are a triple jumper. Yeah. He basically nearly jumped out of the pit. Have you ever had that?
No, I think the idea of having the boards, the different boards and triple jump really helped, because if everyone had to go off, say, the 9 board, I think everyone would be, well, not everyone, but some people might get to the end of the pit. So yeah, no, that's never happened to me. I've seen some people nearly not make the pit though.
Really?
Which is almost as exciting.
Especially like age group champs. See like 14-year-olds just really hopeful that they're going to jump 16 metres and you think, you're not going to make that. And then just about getting the pit.
Slamming onto the hard track.
I just think that jump just obviously we were all excited about Luvo. We had such a consistent season in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this great battle with Echevarria at the World Indoors. But I just think that mark changes actually what we think can be achieved in that event in the coming years.
Because, I mean, Luvo, compared to last year, his season this year has been pretty similar. Like, he's still churning out 850 jumps. He's still got that consistency. Now we've got someone else who's kind of jumping even further. It's a shame he got injured, so they weren't able to push each other. But I think we might see in the long jump, hopefully what we saw, say, like in the high jump in 2014, you know, where a load of guys were jumping 240 and people were talking about world record, and then had a similar thing in triple jump with Christian Taylor and Pichardo pushing each other. So hopefully, I reckon next year with Manyonga, Echeverria, and then even guys like Ruswal Samai, who... He beat Manyonga at the African Champs. He won the Continental Cup. So I reckon having a good group of people like that is what you need to get those big distances and threaten the world record.
Yeah, I think the jumps on both sides have been quite exciting this year. When you think about Ibagwen and everything she's achieved this year, winning the long jump and the triple jump at the Diamond League, Naomi, as a triple jumper.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's
Could you ever do a long jump as well?
I mean... I've done a couple of long jumps, but what happens at competition, like, this is the last time I've done a long jump was like 3 years ago, but I will start off with, like, I don't know, 460, and then the next jump would be 480, and then 5 metres, and then I always end it on 520, so my feet, like, every jump I've done is like 520, so I think if I could have about 16 jumps, I'd probably get, you know,
probably.
I think once I learned technique, I probably would try a long jump one day, but...
but now I'll stick with the triple, So the sprints have also were pretty exciting in the Diamond League as well. I thought Christian Coleman has had an incredible year. He's one of the nominees for Male Athlete of the Year. Broke the 60-metre world indoor record in Birmingham. But, you know, the way he finished off in Brussels with that 9.79 was pretty amazing. But who would you guys have as one of your sprinters of the year?
I think that he'd definitely be up there. Noble Oyles as well. He really stands out. I mean, most of his best races are at 200. But what I enjoy seeing is just he's completely different to Coleman. You know, Coleman's a great starter, very small and compact, and you know, for him it's a case of holding on for as long as he can.
Yeah.
Whereas Lyles, you know, he's not going to be there at the start, but you know he's going to come through at the end. So I'm really looking forward to some great races between those two.
What about on the women's side, you guys?
Ooh. I think the London Diamond League was it with Dina and Shanae?
Yeah.
I think that was really like good to watch. So yeah, I think they're quite interesting. I love seeing them two run together because Euros like Dina was dominating, but when it's like on a world stage, it's just great to see how fast they can run.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's they're both nominated for or have been because they will be announced by this point. Both nominated for Female Athlete of the Year as well. So yeah, they both had stellar seasons. In terms of the throws, Tom, have you had any favourites this year?
Well, the men's shot put has been pretty
popular,
hasn't it? I think maybe it was one of those events that didn't quite take off to the extent that we expected. Kind of at the start of the season, a lot of guys were throwing 22 metres. Was there a competition where five were over 22,
ridiculous. No, I don't think five over 22, but there's like all those kind of depth records have been smashed this year, you know, like eight guys over 21 or like.
So it was one that's kind of been sizzling all year, and I think kind of looking forward to next year when it's a World Championships year.
Yeah,
I think that might actually bring the best out of some of those guys once they start tailoring their seasons towards a peak later on. Perhaps there was a bit of burnout early on. And then again, on the men's side, the javelin.
It's
just been... the three German guys going at it once again, week in, week out.
And it's nice seeing Chopra, especially towards the end of the season, the Indian guy, mixing it with them, just because it's nice. The javelin seems to attract like the most random nations.
It's really global, universal. You get... Obviously, the focus is on the three Germans and how good they are, but... At the same time, they're not unbeatable. Like you've got the Estonian Kurt and the Czech guys. Never know what you can do.
Yeah, and then you've got Kishorn Walcott there from Trinidad as well, who won the Olympics, which is mental. And so the men's javelin, really exciting. And then I think on the women's side, it's hard to see past the likes of Perkovic and Vladarczyk, I guess. And then
but
then again, Vladarczyk. She was challenged this year.
It's the first time we've seen it.
Yeah,
isn't it, really?
for a good what, 3-4 years, she's not had that kind of opposition, and I think she had surgery recently. So maybe next year might be similar. Like maybe she, it might take her a while to find her groove next
mm-hmm.
year. She'll still be the favourite, of course. But yeah, Deanna Price and some of the Chinese women coming through. I think they'll kind of really be a challenge to the world.
How's your hammer throw, Naomi?
No, my hammer throw is not great.
If you were to pick a particular athlete that you were just excited to see what they do in 2019, you can't say yourself, Naomi. But yeah, Tom, let's start with you. Who are you looking forward to seeing in 2019?
I'm going to go with Salomon Varega.
Yes.
Probably,
okay.
Because we all know his talent. He's a young guy, Ethiopian. But I don't think many people saw that time in Brussels coming. We went number 4 in the 5K. I've got it written down here. 12:43.02. No one had run under 13 minutes for the 5K all season. And it,
and he's 18 or something. Yeah.
Yeah, extremely young. And it's just thanks to... I think we need to thank Yomif Kejelcha to an extent in that race, because he was the one who really pushed it. But Berega was there on his heels throughout the whole thing and just kicked to finish and to win it. Can he go faster still? Probably.
Yeah.
I think, given that he seems to be running inside himself and shadowing Kejelcha in that race in Brussels. So, yeah, the men's 5K, and particularly Salomon Berega, I think should be one to look out for next year.
Yeah, that's a good shout. I think, for me, mine's horrendously obvious, but I'm just excited to see what Sydney McLaughlin will do. Because there's not been a World Championships this year. She didn't go to World Under 20s, but she nearly broke the senior world record and has smashed every age group record there is. And just seeing what she'd do against like a world-class field on a senior stage, I think that event particularly is just really exciting at the moment.
Yeah,
John?
I'll go for Samba. I mean, it's someone that I enjoyed watching compete this year. Because he was getting so, it seemed like he was getting so close to the world record each time he ran. And next year with the world champs being on home soil for him, I think it could be a really really good year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sydney, as well.
Yeah.
I think because I don't think she's running for her university anymore.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be interesting to see what she's going to do in like a professional field. Yeah,
and
really exciting.
She's changed coaches as well recently.
Yeah, to Joanna Hayes.
Yeah, he was an Olympic champion, yeah.
Yeah.
So if she knows how to do
it,
then they should be fine. Well, on this Christmas episode of the IAAF podcast, Christmas festivities all around. I'm joined by IAAF president, Sebastian Coe.
Happy Christmas.
So, Seb, it's been a pretty incredible year for athletics in general. We've seen so many world records go on the men's and women's side, and so many amazing WAS events as well. What would you say your moment of the year has been this year?
Well, Ben, you're right. I mean, you know, we think we're busy in most years, and we seem to be busier this year than ever before, even though we didn't actually have an outdoor world championships, but... goodness me, I must have flown about 70,000 miles this year. Outstanding moments. Actually, for me, it sums up the most challenging journey any athlete makes, and that's from the junior ranks into the senior ranks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there were two outstanding examples of that this year. And they both came in our World Under 20 Championships in Tampere in Finland.
Mm-hmm.
The first was Lalu Zuri, the Indonesian sprinter.
Mm-hmm.
appearingly came out of nowhere, although when you actually look behind it, of course, he's got Harry Mara, who is helping the Indonesian coaching structure, and there is a really great case for coach education.
For the listeners that might not know, who is Harry Mara?
Well, Harry is, of course, the guy that choreographed Ashton Eaton
mm-hmm.
and Brianne's career.
Yeah.
Ashton, of course, arguably the best decathlete, certainly one of the best decathletes. I've got to be careful because, of course, Kevin's just broken the world record, but we all have a great affection for Ashton and we love Harry, and he's been terrific for our sport.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Lalu went on and ran a very creditable place in the final in Jakarta in the Asian Games, which I was also at. And I guess the moment in a way for me this year, and anybody that was in the stadium that night will never forget they were there, was Armand Duplantis, because of course he won in Tampere, rather like Lalu, but in Berlin, he just really threw the hand grenade in there in a way and just completely upstaged everybody.
Was
one of our athletes of the year, one of the rising stars, and actually it was funny because of course we'd asked Reino Lavinellini to present or help present the Athletes of the Year award, and of course they had a really interesting exchange, and Lavinellini said to him, do you think you're going to break my world record, and he said yeah. So there's the confidence of youth as well on his side.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the awards. So we just spoke about Mondo obviously winning the male rising star category. On the women's side, I think it was almost a no-brainer with Sydney McLaughlin winning. She nearly broke the senior women's 400 metre world record this year, as well as obliterating every age group record possible on her way to it. What do you think of Sydney?
Well, extraordinary competitor. I mean, a range of talent, which is just, I mean, it's jaw-dropping. Very smart girl, too.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you know. And I'm a great one for wanting as much as we can out of the athletes. The athletes often say to me, what is it I can do to, you know, to further my career? What is it I can do to get more coverage? And I say, just be interesting, be exciting. And she's all of those things. She's so, you know, if you look at the passport into the upper echelons of our sport is the performance. You need that. Then you have the promotion, and that's really up to organisations like ourselves and the federations. But you need personality as well. And if you haven't got the personality, it's quite hard to excite the journalists, who then have to make pretty tough arguments and cases with their editors for finding space for athletics. So I always say to the athletes, be interesting, be different, be thoughtful, have a view, have an opinion. And she certainly has all those, and so does Armand, and that's important for us. And of course, you know, our female athlete of the year was quite poignant for me, because of course earlier in the year we'd had our council meeting in Buenos Aires. We were there because it was the centenary of CONCEDATLI, the South American Athletics Confederation, and for her to have emerged out of South America, out of Colombia, in a year that the whole continent celebrating its centenary was terrific.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of personality, Ebaguen, yeah, what an incredible effervescent athlete she is as well. Really exciting to see her and, well, the male athlete of the year as well, Eliud Kipchoge. Both of them perhaps towards the end of their career, but this year felt really right for them to be.
It didn't obviously feel that the way they were performing this year.
Well,
that
no.
Towards the end of their career, they may take a different view on that. But yeah, you have to say that there's probably more of their career done and past than there is to look forward to it. But I mean, where would you start with Kipchoge? I mean, just again, jaw-dropping.
Well, he medalled in Athens in 2004.
Yes, no, he absolutely did. I was there. I saw it that night because he was behind Hisham.
And he medalled 2008 and then didn't make the London team when he transitioned to the marathon. But then Rio, he actually went and won the marathon, and now
and has dominated since then. And you'd be a brave person to vote to bet against him in Tokyo. Although I'm sure, you know, people like Mo Farah must think that if it's a competitive race, a little bit tactical, it brings them in. But you'd be brave to put your money anywhere else other than Kipchoge at this moment. But the sport changes quickly.
It does indeed. Well, the sport, as you said, it does change quickly. But what would you say for this year you're most proud of?
Oh, I think I admit this is probably a more nebulous observation. I'm just proud of the way the sport is really coming together. And I probably can say that given the amount of time I spend travelling to our WAS events, our World Championship events in Old Money, our area championships. I went to every one of those this year. I've been to our member federations, I've been to our councils, our congresses. And there's a real purpose. There's an excitement. The athletics family has come together and we recognise the challenges. We recognise the need to up our game. We realise and recognise the need to make sure we remain exciting and resilient and salient in the lives of young people. The big challenge, you know, our competition isn't actually from sport, it's from all the other things that are in the lives of young people. So I just think there's a purpose in the sport at the moment, which excites me. And that is also comforting because I know that all the things I want to do, you know, you need the athletics ecosystem, you need the family, you need the media, you need the athletes, you need the member federations, you need the broadcasters to want to support that change. And at this moment, I really feel we're all moving in the same direction.
I agree. And slightly similar question, but what do you think, what are you most proud of that the sport itself has accomplished in this year?
There are lots of things I think we've accomplished. One of the things I'm most proud about is that I think we've demonstrated as a sport we're not afraid to make tough decisions. We don't benchmark those decisions against what other sports are doing, but I know from private conversations with athletes, with officials, that a lot are now looking at the IAAF as a bit of a template for good practice. That's all we really should say at the moment. We've got a long way to go, but I think we've taken some tough decisions that don't always obviously pay off in the first few weeks, months, even maybe the first few years. But I think we're putting the foundation stones in place for a sport that is going to be a darn sight more sustainable and resilient than it probably was a few years ago.
With 2019 just around the corner, what would you say is at the top of your to-do list?
Well, we are an events business. You know, we stand and fall by the success of our world championships. We stand and fall by the success of our one-day meetings. So look at the two big WAS events, the two big world championships this year. I love cross-country. I am passionate about cross-country. The one thing I really wanted to do was to up our game in cross-country, to get people to recognise that cross-country is not only a great spectacle, it has a massive potential for participation and to meet the health and social agenda. You can put courses into really interesting places. And our World Championships in Aarhus in Denmark this year probably ticks every one of those boxes. And the nice thing about it is, for somebody who's really passionate about cross country and believes that cross country has to be tough, I think that's what people want. And if you look at the way a lot of young people particularly are getting their physicality, they like that sort of X factor. This course has it. It's not your typical race course with a few hay bales. This is not for the faint of heart. But what it has also done, and what the Federation's done such a great job in, is building it around, well, if you're in Aarhus, you'll see it, but it's a fabulous cultural centre. But the course almost interweaves with the building, and that's sort of the built landscape, the natural landscape, all coming together.
Yeah, awesome. And then obviously we've got
Yokohama. Well, we've got the big one.
Well, before that, we've got Yokohama, the world
Yokohama, relays. Yes. Thanks for reminding me. Fantastic opportunity, because that'll be a year before the 2020 Tokyo Games. And the world relays in Yokohama. And look, the one thing, you know, if Japan is really into marathons and race walks and endurance events, they're also a nation of relays. You know, some of the most historic, the Ekiden, things like that.
Yeah.
So to have the World Relays in Yokohama a year before the Olympic Games, in the hands of a great federation and also a country that really just masters project management, we're in very good hands.
True, yeah, it's going to be exciting. And then obviously you started already talking about the big one.
I was getting a bit ahead of myself, given that it's not until the end of September. But look, it's a World Championship year. And I think most athletes will tell you, when they wake up in a world championship year, it's just it quickens the pulse rate a little bit. And this year it's Doha, which will be fantastic. It gives us the opportunity to take the sport into a territory that we need to do more in. And of course, if you look at some of the nice little subset stories around that, you've got Mutaz. Mutaz Bashim, fabulous, fabulous high jumper. For me, one of my... Well, he is, I shouldn't probably say this as a IAAF president, but he's one of my favourite athletes. He's such a nice guy. He's a great ambassador. And he's the hometown boy, isn't he? So there's a lot more pressure on him, and he's coming back from injury.
Mm-hmm.
But that will be spectacular. And some of the technology that Doha has implemented, for good reason. You know, we shouldn't be coy or naive about it. We're in a warmer climate than we normally are.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the technology around air conditioning of the stadiums, and the way we're going to have the midnight marathon and the lighting on the corniche, all these things, you know, the evening only sessions. I think there are some great innovations that are going to set Doha apart.
I completely agree. And, you know, you touched on Mutaz there being excited for that and his return. What else are you excited for next year?
Well, you know, if Mutaz is coming back from injury, you've got a few also on there. Journey back from injury, and of course Wade van Niekerk. You know, touch rugby is probably not a sport that would most coaches would advise world record holders who have just expunged Michael Johnson from the records books to indulge in, but he did, and we lost him for a season, but he's back. And if you think about some of the potential, you know, you really do lick your lips at the thought of some of the head-to-heads, you know. But throw in Michael Norman from the United States. You know, this could be one of the hottest events of the year. Mutaz, we've talked about. Dina Asher-Smith. You know, the can she translate those performances that rocked Europe? Can she translate those into the world championship environment? And of course, we've just talked about it. Sydney McLaughlin, rising star. You know, every chance that she could break the world record this year, as could Armand Duplantis. As he stated in our award ceremony. No pressure there. And of course, if you look at the sprints, which, you know, even as a 1500 metre runner, I tend to have to concede, has for the moment assumed the mantle of the, you know, the blue ribbon. You've got Coleman and Lyles. And that doesn't get much better, does it?
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really exciting year, just seeing all these people returning back to injury and just having a world championship final, having the best of the best all there lined up. It's going to be really, really quite spectacular.
It's not only going to be spectacular, it is going to show that at its best, athletics as a sport is unassailable.
Okay, so to close off this Christmassy episode of the IAAF podcast, I've got a little game for you guys. So we're going to play a game of higher or lower. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to name a famous Christmas film or Christmas song, and you've got to tell me whether you think the athlete is older or younger than that song or movie. Okay, so are you ready?
Yeah.
So, The Pogues, Fairy Tale of New York, who is older? That or Mo Farah?
I think the song's older.
You think the song's older, John?
Farah's older.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Farah being older.
Can I change my answer?
No, you can't. You two, you're both correct. So, The Fairy Tale of New York came out in 1988 and Mo Farah was born in 1983. So, Tom, you go first for this one. So, Wham, Last Christmas. Or Katharina Barguen, who is older?
Wham.
Wham, okay.
Ibargwen's 84. I reckon. I think Wham is a bit later. I'll say Ibargwen.
So Ibargwen.
I'll say Wham.
Wham?
Yeah.
Ibargwen is older. Ibargwen was 1984 and Wham came out in 1986.
Oh.
Okay, so next, Home Alone, the film Home Alone. Who is older, Home Alone or Jessica Ennis?
Just Home Alone 1.
Yeah. You think Home Alone 1?
No, I just wanted to check because there have been 4 Home Alones.
Okay. Okay, John, you go first.
Ennis. I'll go Ennis.
Do you think Ennis is older?
Yeah.
Naomi?
Home Alone.
Home Alone.
I think Ennis is older.
Jessica is on. You haven't got one yet. Come on.
Just a copy, John. Yeah.
Okay, so no, you're starting it off this time. Okay. So All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
Okay.
Who is older, that song or Christian Coleman?
Oh, that is easy.
Go on then.
All I Want for Christmas is older than
Christian Coleman.
Yeah.
Okay, John.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's just to be controversial, I'll go with Christian being older.
Naomi, you've got your first answer. Yes! John, you're still 4-4. So, next question. The Grinch or Mondo Duplantis?
Ooh. Oh, okay, I think The Grinch is older.
Okay.
I mean, The Grinch only came out this year, but it's still probably older
than the original.
The original, yeah.
The Duplantis is what? 99.
Oh!
I'll go for The Grinch.
I think Duplantis is older.
Correct. John, that was the first one you got wrong. Okay, so, next question. The Christmas film Love Actually or Jakob Ingebrigtsen?
Ooh.
Tom, start us off.
Which is older?
Mm-hmm.
I saw Love Actually in this. Is it rated 12?
I don't know.
I think Jakob's older.
You think Jakob is older?
Yeah, I think Jakob is older.
I think Love Actually is older.
Jakob is older. Jakob was born in 2000, Love Actually came out in 2003.
Oh.
And final question, so, Santa Baby by Etha Kitt.
Oh. Or Kim Collins. Kim Collins is older.
So, Santa Baby by Etha Kitt or Carl Lewis, who's older?
I'm going to go with Santa Baby being older.
Okay.
Yeah, might be.
I'll just for argument's sake, I'm going to go with Carl.
Naomi, you've got your second answer.
Yes!
So, John, I think you're the undisputed winner of that game. Naomi, probably last place. So, okay, I thought we could end with what is your Christmas wish for 2019 for the sport of athletics?
I would like to see somebody challenge Lasset Ski more frequently in the hydrant.
Good shout.
I think Demirova and Valor Tagano have kind of been there up to 2 metres in 2018. If they can put a bit of consistency together, then I think, yeah, put a bit of pressure on Lasset Ski and watch that bar go up.
Cool. John?
Christmas wish. Kind of going back to what we were saying about the long jump battles, I'd like to see someone get close to world record at 9 metres and that kind of thing. I think
cool,
doable.
Out of it.
I would like the GB relay magic to sort of live on to world champs as well.
Nice,
yeah.
Good one. And I should have thought about this. Yeah. To me, Christmas wish for 2019. I'd like to see the men's shot put world record go. So, unfortunately, that is the end of today's episode, and actually it's the last episode of 2018. I can't believe the year is over already. But already, I'm so excited for what's in store for 2019. We've got a really, really great lineup coming up. We have the likes of the Borlaug brothers joining us, Lolo Jones, junior athletes Tara Davis and Brianna Williams, Olympic and world champion and just long jump stalwart Tiana Bartoletta, and triple jumper, you heard her earlier in the podcast, Naomi Ogbeta, and also recent Diamond League male high jump champion Brandon Stark, and many, many more. It's going to be a really exciting year. And as usual, please leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you are listening to the podcast, because it really does help us out a lot. And we just love to hear your feedback and let us know which athletes you would like on the podcast as well. That's all from me for this year. I hope you've all had a wonderful holiday break and have a great 2019. Cheers.